Have you ever been addicted to your radio? I have. 107.1 FM 107. Real life conversation.
Shotguns, it never had the chance to brag on a suicide romance. Could have sworn there was somebody home. 17th degree unknown home woman.
Go back here with you on FM 107.1, and we are just so inspired by the idea that we can all come back, and we've got the man to tell us how to do that. John Sarquette is author of this such empowering, motivating, exciting book. It's called Extraordinary Comebacks, 201 Inspiring Stories of Courage, Triumph, and Success. We all know that we can overcome any odds and that everything happens for a reason. And John is going to share with us some incredible stories of famous people that you know that you may not have realized fell down and came back. And also, we're going to talk about the fundamentals of staying on course and rising back up. So let's give a warm welcome to the brilliant, engaging John A. Sarquette. Hi, John.
Hi, Jill. Thanks for having me on.
Oh, thank you so much for joining us. This book is so much fun, and I love how, you know, you there's all these people we admire, like Andre Agassi and, you know, Lisa Kudrow, we actresses, and Shania Twain and Tony Bennett, but we have no idea that these people actually fell down and came back up. This book must have been so much fun to compile.
It really was. I'm addicted to it. I'm working on volume two, Jill. I can't stop.
Oh, good. That means it's a good thing for you. That's so awesome. And that it's part of the human condition that we all struggle and come back. Wouldn't life be so boring? We wouldn't understand joy if we didn't experience these kind of things, which we see at setbacks, but they're so character building. Like one person you talk about in the book, and I actually mentioned this in my book, Flirting for Success, very briefly, but you go into the deep story behind it, that Michael Jordan, who is one of the best basketball players of all time, actually had a major setback. Tell us about him.
Oh, wow. That's for every young kid who's ever been cut from a team and come home in tears, they need to know the story of Michael Jordan, because unbelievably, he got cut when he was a sophomore in high school from the varsity team. Now, Jill, most pro athletes, they always play up. You know, when they're younger, they're playing with the older guys, and they're leading the way and so forth. So for an athlete like Michael Jordan to ever have been cut from any team is just inconceivable. He went home, he shut the door, he cried. His mother came home, they cried again. And he played that year on the junior varsity, though. And he looks back on it now, and he said it helped him build his skills, build his character, and it really provided the fuel for the rest of his career, because he decided he never wanted to have those feelings again.
Mm. And so a lot of times people see him and they think, oh, he's just been a wizard on the court from day one, but he actually had to go through being cut to be the person that he became to be.
It's part of the story, but what the rest of the story, some people know it, but not everyone, but Michael Jordan, you know, I'm here in Chicago, we know the stories here of how he was always the first one in the stadium.
Yeah.
To prepare for the games, he'd take extra shots, he devised special exercises for his hands, just to build up his hand strength. He would shove his hand into big baskets of rice and other grains and work the grains in his hands, and that's just a tiny part of what he did. But if you look at these stories, there's another story, one who was not in the book because it just happened. Roger Clemens is coming back to the Yankees,
mm-hmm.
and that got huge news about 4 weeks ago, May 6th, when he announced he was coming back. Well, Clemens' work ethic is just legendary. He does like between 600 and 2,000 stomach crunches a day, I read. So if you can work like a Michael Jordan, you can work like a Roger Clemens, you can perhaps begin to taste a little bit of their success. And that's one of the themes in this book. Almost every person of these 200 stories, their work ethic is just enormous. They just wouldn't quit.
It's so much of it is you just keep going, and then it works out. You don't give up.
That's it.
And even like when, you know, there's so many stories, I think, that focus on certain themes, like Pablo Picasso, one of our greatest artists of all time. Mm-hmm. You talk about in Extraordinary Comebacks how he had a friend that died, and instead of just, you know, totally withdrawing from art, Picasso turned this into one of his greatest artist periods, which was known as the Blue Period for 3 years.
Yes, he had suffered depression, actually. His friend was named Casa Gemas, I believe,
mm-hmm.
and well, he committed suicide, and, you know, it's a terrible blow to your circle of friends and family, and Picasso took it very hard, and he was plunged into depression. He had a 3-year blue period where his thoughts were consumed with grief, loss, suffering, hunger, want. And his art expressed it. This is where he painted the famous paintings, The Soup, Crouching Woman, Blind Man's Meal, The Tragedy of Frugal Repast. This is about in the early 1900s. But then what happened? Time passed, and you know, calls to mind the saying, "This too shall pass."
Right.
And that's something that people need to keep in mind.
And also George Harrison said, "All things must pass." I love that.
Who said that?
George Harrison, "All things must pass."
Yes.
I'm a Beatle freak, yeah.
Oh, there's a terrific article on Paul McCartney in the current New Yorker I'd recommend to everyone.
Oh, he's a comeback kid, too.
Oh, yeah. He's had some setbacks like everyone. But anyway, Picasso, he moved to Montmartre, and his earnings started to improve. He made new friends, in a new environment, new surroundings, and his art changed. He started depicting street performers, beautiful girls, harlequins, this sort of thing. And this period, 1904 to 1906, was then called the Rose Period. And the famous paintings there were a boy leading a horse, woman with loaves.
And it's such a metaphor for life because, yeah, when you have a dark period, you know, he's doing the dark paintings, and from there you transcend to the next emotion. And the other thing I think that teaches us, John, is that when we're in pain, feel the pain and make art of it. Some of the most beautiful songs of all time came from pain. Like, you know what song? I mean, I'm not a big Bruce Springsteen fan, but one of my favorite songs by him is the one where he's like, "The Tunnel of Love," you know. And it's all about when he was having those really difficult problems in his marriage, and yet he turned it into this beautiful metaphor about going through the tunnel, you know, when you're in an amusement park, and we all could feel it. So I love that part of the message of the book is when you're going through pain, turn it into something, and then you transcend it.
And you know, you've touched on something important there, Jill, because it's okay to feel the pain.
Yes,
A couple of our stories in the book talk about that. We've got Joan Rivers.
Yeah, that's what I want to get into her, too, because she actually created then a list of how, talk about what happened to her, because, I mean, she just went through a series of blows.
Oh, she did. Her husband committed suicide.
Oh,
again, we're back on that theme, like with that affected Picasso. And that, you know, tremendous blow. But what she did, jumping ahead, she wrote a book called Bouncing Back. I Survived Everything, and I Mean Everything, and You Can Too. And one of her main themes is give yourself time and permission to grieve your loss in the way you wish. And even then she goes into more depth on that. Create a healing space for yourself, a place where you can go and just feel down for a while. Not forever, just for a while.
But you have to be in that moment to transcend it,
Yeah, and same thing. Another story we have in the book, Dr. Joyce Brothers, her husband didn't kill himself, but he passed on, and it was, she was, and her, she was a professional psychologist, big name. I mean, the psychologist, right?
Right.
And she, yet she was amazed at how helpless and ordinary at suffering the grief like any other person. I mean, she didn't have any more armaments or arms against that the kind of human pain than anybody else did. But she gave herself time to heal. She took care of herself, restored. Her whole story's in the book, and it's an inspiring one.
And because of that, she became a better advisor for everyone else that came in her path. Every time I go through a problem in life, I say, oh, this is going to make me a more powerful messenger and to help other people heal because I've been through it.
When you mentioned that, I think of the story of FDR, who's in the book. A lot of people have put forth the notion that because he suffered himself through polio, he had more compassion and more ability to identify with other people. He had a rather privileged upper-class background. But because he was laid low himself,
he could be a better leader.
His touch with humanity expanded, and he was a better leader.
Okay.
And he saw our country through really perilous times. I mean, we're in tough times now. But think back to those days.
Yeah, he healed us with what he had gone through. Okay, John, we've just scratched the surface. We love you. We're going to take a weather break, and we're going to be back to discuss more amazing stories from your book, Extraordinary Comebacks, and more strategies for all of us to come back in life. Okay?
Yes.
You're doing awesome. This is Jill Spiegel on FM 107.1, 7 to 10 every Saturday night, and we'll be right back after this.
I'm over your lies, and I'm over your game.
Back Cherokee on FM 107.1, and we are having so much fun talking to John Sarkat, author of the book Extraordinary Comebacks, 201 Inspiring Stories of Courage, Triumph, and Success. We're learning that everybody in their life falls down, so to speak, and then rises up, and that's part of learning lessons, building character, experiencing the full spectrum of life, and being a teacher and messenger for others. Hey, John, thanks for holding.
Yes, Jill.
Hey, we talked a little bit about Joan Rivers, and I just wanted to, and by the way, I was on Politically Incorrect with her once.
Yes.
And we kind of had a falling down because, you know, her thing is kind of to laugh at people and make fun of them.
Oh,
and,
my.
Yeah, she was kind of making fun of me for the first couple of segments. Cause,
oh.
Yeah, but that
like
was
Don Rickles style.
Yeah, exactly. And I knew that was her thing, so I was like.
That's her shtick, right?
That's her shtick. It's okay by me, but I knew I had to make a comeback with Joan because I wanted to be ally. So we went into commercial break, and
yeah.
I thought, how can I flirt with Joan? And I told her, I just saw your daughter on TV. You must be so proud of her. And she looks at me. Her whole face warms up, and suddenly she loves me. And
wow.
She goes, I am so proud. And the rest of the show, we were best friends. So I had my own comeback with Joan.
That's a good impression.
Oh, thank you.
How many impressions can you do?
That's a good question. I've never counted, but I love to imitate people.
You're
I
good.
Love it.
Oh. But by the way, may I say also, I was listening to your broadcast earlier on streaming on the internet.
Oh, yeah?
You have such a nice, easy rapport with your guests, and I can tell you have such a great community and audience there, and you're doing such a great service for people. I can just pick up the energy.
Oh, John, I'm blushing. It's so awesome to hear that. Thank you. I hold every word in my heart. Mm,
oh,
that's
yeah.
So sweet.
Yeah. And the quote, I like samurai, I get whole tumor.
Oh, I know. Wasn't that incredible?
Oh, I wrote that down.
Oh, it's powerful.
Oh, I love that. That's the kind of person you want in your corner when you're going through a setback.
That is so it. That's it. Just somebody that's right there to heal you. I know. And you have the same energy, John. You're so into the human spirit. And when you talked about the Joan Rivers story, you know, you mentioned that she said, give yourself time to grieve, create a healing space.
Right.
And just the three other points she had that I love is that she said you write a list of everything that's depressing to you and everything that you love. So writing everything depressing, that kind of helps you sort of purge that, and
oh,
then
yes.
You focus on what you love.
Yes, absolutely.
And that's such a great way to make all decisions. You know, what is disturbing you, concerning you about it, and what's empowering about it.
Yeah.
And then she said, ask for help when appropriate, and if you have to, see a therapist, because she said, if you're always turning to friends, it can get draining. I think that's good advice. So you may need a professional sometimes.
Yes.
And then fill your days, get busy with a new career and new things. You know, I know that if I start to lose myself, you know, if I don't know if I go into fear or doubt, if I fill my mind with positive things, reading your book or, you know, I'm focusing on people that I admire, then I get all the energy back. So I thought those tips that you mentioned from Joan in the book were great. Now, now I want to talk about the Dr. Seuss one. It's so cool.
Oh, can I backtrack one quick
second? Yeah.
In that middle point where Joan Rivers says, write a list of everything that's depressing you.
Yeah.
We expand on that with another story. It's by Dr. James Pennebaker.
Uh-huh.
And he is a psychologist at the University of Texas and an author. And he has studied journaling, just writing down
yeah.
your thoughts and feelings.
Oh, I do that every day. I
oh,
love it.
Oh, you do?
Yeah.
Are you familiar with him? Do you know him?
No, I don't know anything. Teach
you
me.
Might, you might want to have him as a guest sometime. But here's what. I'll be brief. He has studied this and found that if a person who is suffering from some sort of emotional or mental trauma simply writes in their journal maybe as little as 20 minutes a day, it lowers their blood pressure, it creates positive physiological changes as well as psychological, decreases the need for psychotherapy and or drugs, and in other words, just organize your thoughts, self-psychotherapy as it were. So just journaling is very powerful. I wanted to mention that.
Oh, thank you. I so believe that. I know whenever I write in my journal, it's so cathartic.
Yeah.
And I don't even feel like I'm good. I have boxes of journals I've gone through, and I'm not about, like, opening them back up. Maybe one day I will, and sometimes it's fun to glance through them, but it's more, like you said, just the practice. We have to release those feelings.
Yeah, and there's another story in our book, Come to Think of It. It just jogged in my mind. A person named Betsy Carter. She's a magazine editor and an author. She had kept journals in the past, and when she went back in time, she discovered she came across a bunch of old journals from 10 or 15 years earlier,
mm-hmm.
and she came to find out that all the things that were bothering her and were immensely weighing on her 10 to 15 years ago, she had weathered all those storms, transcended everything, and had catapulted to goals and dreams she'd never even imagined.
Mm.
So this phrase, it comes to mind, Jill, this too shall pass.
Yes.
You got to just keep the faith and keep the hope and just persist. And then a little humorous, Winston Churchill said one time, when you're going through hell, just keep going.
Yes, and I really believe that life is cyclical. I really do. I think that we'd never know joy if we didn't have pain. So it's a cyclical process, don't you think?
Yes, Max Cleland, one of our subjects, said that the darkness can illuminate the light.
Yes.
Which is a really kind of a paradoxical and haunting pithy statement that it just sticks in one's mind. But that's really true. If you don't have the downtimes, if you don't have the setbacks, you don't really fully appreciate the triumphs.
It's so true. Now, okay, I want to talk about Lisa Kudrow, who we loved as Phoebe on Friends, but since I mentioned Dr. Seuss and we all love him, his story is so cool. Can you tell us quickly about that?
Well, yeah. The individual who is, you know, synonymous with children's books, the number one author, he created his first manuscript, and it was rejected by 43 publishers.
Oh, I know!
And but he persisted, and a friend helped him bring it out, and one thing led to the other, and he eventually became a great success. Jill, there's a lot of stories in the book like that. I have a whole list of authors and how many times they were rejected.
Yes.
And they went on to become huge successes. And, you know, there's just no lack of these kind of stories.
And it's so cool in the book. It says something like that that Life magazine reported that children had trouble learning to read because the books were boring because they could only absorb like 250 words at a time or something.
Yeah.
So then he decided to write a book with just that amount of words, The Cat in the Hat,
exactly.
And then Green Eggs and Ham, and then there you are. So it's like, you just don't give up. And I love, okay, for everyone that ever got fired, you know Lisa Kudrow, how we all loved her as Phoebe?
Oh, yeah.
People didn't realize that she was Roz. She was the first Roz in Frasier.
You nailed it. That's the story. And she got she was so excited because she was a Kelsey Grammer fan, and she knew this show was going to be big. She just felt it. And her thought that was in her mind, she said, I'll never have to pay the rent again. This is so great. And before they even filmed the first one, she got fired.
Oh.
And so crestfallen. But then the next year, she got hired on a little show that was going to be called something like Friends.
Yeah, that little show.
And just for the last season in that ran for such a long time, just the last season, they got each of the stars got $1 million an episode.
It's amazing.
So I mean,
right? So
know,
it's that expression: when one door closes, a better door opens.
Oh, the getting fired theme. That thing is so loaded. I mean, Lee Iacocca, got fired from Ford, then went over to Chrysler, saved the company, went on to become a business icon. Steve Jobs, who founded Apple Computer, got fired by the guy he hired to run the company.
Yeah, and then look what he did.
He started Next Computers, and then he came back. The guy who founded Home Depot was fired from Handy Andy stores. These stories are like growing in the garden. I mean, they're just out there.
It's so cool. It's a gift. Everything, it's a gift, and the lesson comes through. John, we love you. Extraordinary Comebacks is the book, 201 Inspiring Stories of Courage, Triumph, and Success. It's so fun to learn about what really happened to all these people we admire behind the scenes. And do you have a website you can share with us?
Oh, yeah. If you Google Extraordinary Comebacks, it takes you right to sarkett.com. That's my last name, S-A-R-K-E-T-T.
Mm-hmm.
And we have everything on there, reviews, blurbs, excerpts, a blog, etc.
Oh, fantastic. Well, you are just such a loving soul, and we're so glad that you're raising up the human spirit to know we can overcome anything. It's all part of the plan. And thank you so much for the kind words. I'm really holding in my heart.
Oh, I'm a fan, Jill.
Oh, good. Me too. Right back at ya.
Okay,
thanks. It's the awesome, wonderful, loving John Sarkett. Check out Extraordinary Comebacks, the book, and check out his website, too. We love John. It's Jill Spiegel on FM 107.1 every Saturday night. Spread the word, and we'll be right back.
Who doesn't know what I'm talking about? Who's never left home? Who's never struck out? To find a dream and a life of their own. A place in the clouds. Young girl's dreams no longer hollow. It takes the shape of a place out west. But what it holds for her, she hasn't yet guessed. She needs wide open spaces.
107.1, FM 107.